Chapter 31. Navigation.
I cannot, Chetta growled, gritting her teeth. Be having, she continued, forcing herself to roll over onto her left side. With this foolishness, she spat, propping herself up on her left arm.
She gave Radomir's body a quick kick, out of spite, which achieved nothing except making her knee twinge. The rite was near completed. She could sense that much. The abomination waiting in the warp was closer now, by some unfathomable metric, and simply waiting for the moment when it could get enough of a hold on Vorlisi to drag it to its doom in the Immaterium. Nigiri was a prone form in ceramite, over which washed the unnatural colours of the warp. Jekri was in two parts, carmine in three. Fel was primarily charred meat. Rose and Villa both lacked heads. Granger was missing most of her chest, and Hicket had simply bled out. All around them, and in the smoggy gloom beyond, lay the bodies of heretics. The only living person Chetta could see was the trembling form of the Fire Witch, cowering in a ball.
You! Chetta shouted. Witch!
There was no response.
Look at me! Chetta raged. Look at me, you warp-damned, demon-loving, slime-sucking, pestilential sack of cowardly, putrescent filth!
She grabbed a rock and threw it. It missed, but clattered noisily across the stones.
Look at me!
The Fire Witch's head jerked up, and even across the distance between them, Chetta could see the faint light of flames in those dark, sunken eyes. Good, she continued in a more measured tone. Now that I have your attention, do you want to die here? The witch's eyes narrowed.
Because if you don't, you need to get me.
Chetta jabbed herself in the chest with her thumb.
Into there!
She pointed at the swirling power of Niklau's ritual. The witch began to involuntarily turn her head.
Don't look at the sky! Chetta yelled. Look at me! Focus on me!
The witch looked back at her.
Get up! Chetta urged. Get up and help me. I can save us both. I can save everyone. I can make all of this go away, but I can't move. I can't do this by myself. So if you want this entire planet to die, and if you want to suffer an eternity of screaming torment in the warp, then you stay right where you are. If you want a chance at living for a while longer, then help me up.
For a long moment, the heretic didn't move. Then, just as Chetta was about to either scream in frustration or simply lie down and give up, she honestly wasn't sure which, the other woman scrambled to her feet and ran towards her. She arrived in a clatter of stones and dust, and Chetta shielded her eyes with her hand. When it had settled, she looked up at the slight figure looming over her.
You killed Radomir,
the witch said, looking down at Niklau's body. Her voice was flat, dispassionate.
He was trying to kill me,
Chetta grunted.
I never liked him,
the witch commented.
I should have trusted my instincts.
She crouched down next to Chetta, dark eyes scanning over her.
Why can't you move? Are you injured?
My body and I are not currently on speaking terms,
Chetta said acidly.
No, I'm not injured. As such, I just can't anymore.
The witch nodded and reached out.
Chetta stamped down on the revulsion she felt at having the heretic touch her.
This may hurt.
Every day hurts, Chetta replied, gritting her teeth. Let's get this over with.
It did hurt. The witch was neither skilled nor experienced at helping a battered navigator in chronic pain to her feet. However, it hurt less than it would have done had Chetta tried to get up on her own. She clung to that fact, even while her head was spinning and she was fighting the urge to throw up into her respirator.
Right, she gasped when she could speak again, with the witch supporting her on one side. Now, we're going to need to get inside the ritual.
I can't walk into that,
the witch said in a small voice.
I can't.
What's your name?
Chetta asked.
What?
Your name, Chetta repeated.
She felt like she was wasting valuable seconds. But this would all be for nothing if she couldn't get the witch to do as she wanted.
Evelyn?
Evelyn, I need you to trust me,
Chetta told her seriously. I'm a navigator.
I guide starships through the warp. That is literally what my kin and I were created for. For anyone else, trying to walk into that ritual would be suicide. But I can find us a way through. I know that the only chance we have to stop it is from the center. I can see that.
What if you're wrong?
Evelyn asked. Chetta kissed her teeth in frustration. Then we die a few minutes before everyone else does. Unless you have a shuttle parked within half a mile and you're a fast runner, you're dead anyway. What have you got to lose?
My soul is damned anyway, Evelyn said darkly.
Most of us are, if you listen to the preachers, Chetta retorted. That just makes me want to live as long as possible, to avoid what comes afterwards. Are you with me? Evelyn screwed up her eyes for a second, then nodded decisively.
All right. I'm with you.
Relief washed through Chetta, although her chest tightened up again a moment later when she considered what she was about to attempt. Good. Let's get...
Step away from her.
The voice was ragged and pain-racked, but recognizable. Chetta twisted her head around with a pop of protesting joints and saw a figure staggering out of the smog. It was covered in blood, and one of its arms hung at an unnatural angle, but the other still clutched a hellgun that was aimed, somewhat haphazardly, at the pair of them.
Deschelle, Alisana!
Chetta snapped, correcting herself. Her former aide had the woozy look of someone who'd taken a far harder blow to the head than it was healthy for a human to receive, and her left arm was clearly broken. Both probably suffered when she'd been struck by the flying, bleeding missile that had been Carmine's dismembered body. Alisana, lower your weapon.
She's a witch,
Nero said, her voice groggy but determined. Her combead was still active, since her words reached Chetta's ears muffled by her respirator, but also with the faint crackle of interference.
And you're a witch, and I'm a damn mutant, Chetta told her wearily. We're also the only ones around here with any chance of stopping this insanity. So perhaps we can all work together in the interests of saving the planet.
I don't want to die today,
Evelyn added, plaintively. Whether it was force of habit of obeying Chetta's instructions, Evelyn's naked truthfulness, the head trauma Nero had suffered, or a combination of the three, Chetta wasn't sure. Whatever the reason, the last member of Inquisitor Zaretta Nagiri's band stood indecisively for a second, then flicked the safety on her hellgun and trudged closer to offer Chetta the shoulder of her non-broken arm for support.
My cane, Chetta told them. I need my cane.
You have us, Nero replied.
For now, Chetta pointed out. At least get me some way of holding myself up if something happens to you.
They shuffled over, and with Nero now able to take Chetta's weight for a moment, Evelyn knelt down for a second to grab Chetta's cane from where she'd let it fall. Chetta gripped the handle of it in her right hand, with the length of it dangling down Evelyn's back, and felt a momentary rush of almost entirely unwanted security as a result. She also kept her thumb near the stud that would turn the cane into a shock maul, just in case the witch proved treacherous, or in some way disastrously craven.
Forward then, she instructed, eyeing the curtain of swirling power before them. Remember, tread only where I say to tread, and only when I say.
It was, without a doubt, the most nerve-wracking experience of Chetta's life. There was an illusion of security when on her navigation throne in the vestibule of a starship. The Geller field was always her primary protection, of course, but there was the ever-present risk of it failing, at which point the warp drive might turn into a giant hunk of rotting meat, or the corridors could start to digest the sanitation teams, or the bridge crew might begin to fuse with the deck. The sturdy walls of the ship itself, that protected her so well from the hard vacuum and radiation of the void and the guns of enemies, would do nothing against the warp. And yet, even though she knew that on an intellectual level, there was still a part of her that gained some comfort from that perceived protection. Staggering through shifting walls of warp energy, with nothing between her and them, save for scant inches of particulate-suffused air, and relying for propulsion not on a well-drilled bridge crew used to responding instantly to her direction,
but a heretical fire witch and a badly concussed agent of the Inquisition whose loyalty she had been so badly wrong about for so long.
Stop, she ordered, and the three of them lurched to a halt.
It would look like, to a warp-blind observer, as though they were simply staggering drunkenly across the ground, veering to avoid imagined threats, and Chetta suspected that even the psychers on either side of her could detect nothing more than a crawling sensation on their skin or similar. To her, however, the barriers that were thrown up in front of, behind and around them were luridly visible.
Right!
They shuffled in the direction she'd indicated, as a tendril of power lashed down from where they'd been standing a moment before. It was a complicated pattern. But it was a pattern, and Chetta could see it. She just had to make sure that her concentration didn't slip. And all the while, the looming threat that hung in the sky above them grew slightly more tangible.
Forward two steps. Left, one step. Turn left!
They pivoted, with Chetta as the agonized center point.
Now right, three steps. Tashel, get behind me!
Nero obeyed, moaning in pain as her left arm banged against her side, but she managed to avoid the next wall of power that sprang up.
Could your precognition let you walk through this?
Chetta asked her, as they paused for a moment in a brief gap. This would be a lot easier if you knew where to tread.
It's not reliable, Nero mumbled.
Why are these things never easy?
Chetta grumbled. She frowned, eyeing a new surge building within the maelstrom. Easy enough to avoid, by stepping there, there, and... But wait. There was a different wall of power sweeping around from that direction, which would pass through that space at exactly the moment they'd need to be there, so... The first surge was getting closer, sweeping inexorably around the octagram of power. She was out of time to plan.
Crap! Backwards! Chetta ordered, and the other women obeyed.
How far?
Evelyn demanded. Until I tell you! Chetta snapped. Now right! Keep going! Forwards! And stop!
It was like flying through the worst warp storms, when she was literally just reacting to what the Empyrean threw at her, with no ability to plan her best route. Those had always been the times when she'd felt most alive. Probably because they'd also been the times when she'd been the closest to death.
Right again!
They staggered sideways once more. But that tail end of that damnable second wall was catching up with them fast. Chetta could see the internal border of the huge octagram of power mere yards away. They could get close to it, but the gaps just weren't going to sync up. No matter where they trod, no matter how quickly they moved, there was no way to get past that final barrier before another sweep of power caught them. She'd misread the pattern. Going back and starting again wasn't an option. Even if their muscles and reflexes held up, it would take too long. Sometimes, you simply had to buckle up and give the bridge the order to go full ahead.
Nero, stay here in case this doesn't work, Chetta ordered, shaking her arms loose of her former aide's support. Evelyn, forwards now!
Alisana Nero was, apparently, not quite quick enough on the uptake to protest in time. Chetta heard her begin to voice an objection, but by that point her heart was thumping in her ears as she stumbled forwards with her right arm over the heretic's shoulders.
Bear left!
Closer and closer, but the ritual's power was closing in on them. Not like the jaws of a predator, which implied voluntary action, but like the moving parts of a vast machine that was heedless of the rats it might crush in its internal wheels and gears as it fulfilled its assigned task.
Forwards!
Chetta braced herself as the wall of power loomed up in front of her. Realistically, how much worse could it hurt than everything else she'd experienced today? It was searing ice. It was crushing sharpness. It was every cell in her body being pierced by a high-frequency drill. It was agony. It was ecstasy. It was eternal. It was over. They broke through, stumbled. Chetta was jolted as Evelyn managed to get her legs under the navigator again and prevented her from falling.
What was that?
The witch panted, clutching at her chest.
We were too slow, Chetta lied, but we made it.
Above them, directly above them now, was the rent in the sky and its malign occupant. In front of them, turning slowly in the air, was a figure in the ripped uniform of a Medicae, wreathed in corpuscent
and with an unholy design carved into his chest. To Chetta's eyes, he was connected to the ground by 8 tendrils of power that flowed to him from the 8 corners of the octagram in which they now stood, and a thicker rope of it flowed upwards from his silently screaming head. She focused her warp sight on the nearest corner and saw that the glowing orb focusing the power of the glyph around them was a navigator's warp eye. Should she move them? Nero! She snapped, suddenly aware of impending peril behind her. 2 steps back!
You're not even looking at me!
Nero's voice retorted. But she did as she was instructed. Yes, I am, you stupid girl! Chetta grunted. She focused again and tutted. Sometimes, the simplest solutions really were the best. Burn it, she told Evelyn, pointing at the floating body.
What?
Evelyn replied breathlessly. She seemed to have been more severely affected by being caught up in the ritual's power than Chetta had. Perhaps her inherent psychic powers had something to do with that?
Burn it, Chetta snapped. That's the focus. If we destroy the focus, the ritual should fail.
Should?
Evelyn retorted incredulously. Chetta swung her arm clear of the other woman's shoulders and planted her cane on the ground to catch herself before she overbalanced. This is our chance. Take it or don't.
I'll take it,
Evelyn muttered. She took a couple of steps forwards, still determinedly not looking up at the rift above them, then spread the fingers on each hand. Fire. Not pale corpuscent, but a hail yellow-orange sprang into existence and licked across her fingers. A moment later, and it was running up her arms as though she'd been dipped in it. Then, with an audible woomph, flames ignited all across her body. She raised her hands, shouted in apparent effort, and closed her fists again. The suspended body began to rotate faster. The power flowing upwards from it into the rift increased, and the rift itself began to bulge lower. Burn it! Chetta shouted again.
I'm drying!
Evelyn responded, her voice tight with effort.
It's like it's just swallowing my fire.
Chetta's stomach twisted.
Well, try harder.
This was the key. She knew it.
Overload it!
Evelyn screamed, and the fire surrounding her body brightened from yellow-orange to yellow to white to blue-white. Chetta could feel the heat radiating off her as the body in the air above them spun faster and faster. Dust began to float upwards. It was barely noticeable at any distance in the smog. But Chetta could see it rising directly in front of her eyes. The finest particles that lay on the ground were being drawn into the sky. A faint breeze was building as well, as air was sucked in from all sides. The predator above them was starting to close its jaws on Vorlisi.
What's happening?
Evelyn demanded, her voice panicked.
Keep going, Chetta ordered.
The body in the air was spinning so fast now that she couldn't see it clearly. But she was sure that there was a dark patch on its front that was starting to occlude the 8-pointed star carved into its flesh. Soil began to rise, then small stones. Everything was drawn together into a column that snaked upwards into the rift and disappeared into the leering, screaming mouths that made up the surface of the monstrous eye. It was almost as though Chetta could reach up and touch it.
Keep going!
The charred patch was definitely spreading across the Medicae's body, but Evelyn's body was shaking with effort. Chetta bit her lip with anxiety until she tasted blood for the second time that evening. Come on, come on! Fire. Caught. The corpuscent was pushed aside by white-hot flames that consumed, burning the clothes, melting the flesh, charring the bones.
Yes!
Chetta shouted jubilantly. More! More! You're doing it! Larger rocks were flying upwards now. One caromed off Evelyn's right shoulder, drawing a cry of pain. But the Fire Witch's concentration didn't break. Chetta began to feel the draw herself. Not enough to pluck her from the ground, not yet. But enough to tug against Vorlisi's gravity. Any moment now, the ritual would complete, and this slow devouring would become the same near instantaneous destruction that had claimed Gallimo Prime. The floating skeleton charred into ash and was sucked upwards into the ravening maw. Without their focus, to direct them onwards. The tendrils of power from the 8 warp eyes met and gathered for a moment into a single point. Invisible to human eyes but brighter in Chetta's warp sight than any of Evelyn's flames. Then it exploded. The backwash of power, accompanied by a gale force howl of wind, knocked Chetta off her feet. As she landed, she saw Evelyn crashing backwards onto the ground, and then dust and gravel and rocks were raining down out of the sky. Above her, Chetta caught a momentary glimpse of triple pupils narrowing in rage before the rent in the sky raveled up to reveal not the inky blackness of half-mile-thick smog, but the light-studded flanks of Ascension City's titanic hablocks, and far above even them, the faintly twinkling points of the stars. They'd done it.
Chetta!
Hastily stumbling feet, a hand threaded beneath her armpit, Chetta groaned as Alisana Nero helped her up off the ground.
You did it, Nero said, her voice awed. You actually did it? It's over?
It's over, Chetta confirmed, planting her cane wearily. Her warp sight could see no remnants of power, save for the faintest of sparks that was Nero's gift. But I didn't do it, she nodded at Evelyn. She did. I just told her what to do. Nero made a noise in her throat that Chetta didn't like the sound of. She liked it even less when her former aide unslung the hell gun from across her good shoulder and took a step towards Evelyn with the weapon stock tucked between her unbroken arm and her ribs.
Witch!
Evelyn scrambled up to her knees and raised her palms outwards. Chetta flinched, expecting to be caught in the flames that the Fire Witch would surely hurl at Alisana Nero. Nothing happened. Evelyn stared at her hands in disbelief. Nero's first shot flew wide. She grunted with effort, trying to steady the bulky hellgun with one hand. Chetta activated the power switch on her cane and struck Nero in the ribs with it. The shock setting on the weapon sent the inquisitorial agent slumping to the ground, temporarily unconscious. Chetta followed her a moment later as her balance failed. She felt something in her chest snap as she hit the ground. Probably a collarbone. More pain. Nothing unusual there. Grimacing with the effort, she managed to look up at where Evelyn was getting to her feet, still staring shakily at her hands.
I'm empty,
the witch stammered.
I'm empty.
Run. Chetta croaked at her. Evelyn's eyes met hers.
Why?
Chetta knew that the other woman wasn't asking why she should run. The Inquisition are single-minded and inflexible. Chetta managed. I am capable of slightly more nuance. You saved this planet. They won't care about that. I do. Run, before someone who isn't me arrives. Evelyn gave her one brief nod, then turned and ran. It was a limping, staggering run, but it served to get her out of sight before Alisana Nero came around with a jerk and a moan of pain as reality asserted itself in her consciousness once more. Gah! Chetta gasped as one of Nero's thrashing limbs caught her in the shoulder.
What happened?
Nero demanded, fighting up to her knees and fumbling with her hellgun. The witch must have had a trick left. Chetta gasped. Took us both down. Not hard to do in my case. She pawed at Nero's side, trying to push her away. Nagiri. She took a knife to the ribs. But she may still live. Go. See if you can help her. Nero staggered to her feet and made for her mistress. Chetta took a couple of breaths to compose herself. Then, doing her best to ignore the stabbing pain in her upper chest, reached up to her combead and keyed it to the highest broadcasting level she could. This is the Lady Chetamande, Novator of House Brabantis, she declared to the sky above her, free for the moment of the vox-blocking smog, thanks to the explosion of warp energy. I am very much not dead, and I will pay a reward of 10,000 ducats to the first person or persons who follow this signal and return my companions and me safely to Brabantis Palace. She paused,
and glanced to her right. In addition, if you can hear this, Judge Arctos, you may be interested to learn that I have killed Radomir Niklau.